Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County. Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. At the top of the page, CRIS, Rural Mass Transit District to provide rural transportation in Iroquois County. The Iroquois County Board made this announcement about rural transportation September 25th. Quote, Iroquois County is happy to announce that CRIS Rural Mass Transit District will be taking over for the show bus. Please be patient during this transition as all routes and times are not guaranteed. Riders who need transportation for medical appointments or are elderly or disabled are encouraged to contact their insurance carriers before calling, as it will most likely cover the cost of their ride. For general public, fares are approximately $4 per trip. Please contact CRIS at 217-443-2287 or visit their website at www.ruraltransits.org at least 24 hours in advance to schedule a ride or for general questions. Watseka officials, grocery tax won't be increased to public, by Carla Waters, managing editor. The Watseka City Council approved grocery tax at its September 23rd, which officials say will not be any increase to the public. At the meeting, City Attorney Joe Kanekar explained. Mayor Benny Marcier said the issue is pending statewide. Kanekar said, last year, Governor J.B. Pritzker kind of moved to go away with the state tax. It was a 1% tax on the sale of groceries. I guess it was his way of showing that he's not all about taxes. At the same time, that tax always flowed down to the municipalities, to the counties, wherever the grocery store was. So it ended up being a big problem for a lot of counties or municipalities, as the case may be. The only way he could really get the approval through is if he also gave the power to the municipalities to enact their own grocery tax. So you have authority to do up to a 1% tax, which will be the same as the state tax. The state collects it and gives it to you just like it would be in the past, he said. The state tax will stop on January 1st. Your tax, assuming we pass it tonight, will go into effect on January 1st. The public won't see a difference, Kanekar said. The city receives close to $300,000 from the grocery tax. The City Council approved Ordinance Number 2762, amending Title 3, Finances and Taxation, Chapter 4, City Taxes, by adding Article H, Municipal I, Grocery Occupation Tax of the Watseka City Code. The measure was approved in the consent agenda by a vote of 7-0. Alderman Jeff Peterson, absent. Also approved in the consent agenda was Ordinance 2764, which amends Title 6, Public Safety, Chapter 1, Police Department, Sections 611 through 618 of the Watseka City Code, which does away with the auxiliary police. There was no discussion on the matter. After the meeting, Chief Eric Starkey said there are reasons for the measure. Quote, one is a staffing issue, he said. In the last few months, we've had four officers resign from the auxiliary for various reasons. He said there is a liability issue as well. Liability for the department, liability for those individuals themselves. You know, police work, especially in the state of Illinois, there's a lot of demands put on police officers nowadays. Obviously, they are not performing the same duties, but in reality, they are an extension of the police department. They don't have weapons, but they are essentially a branch of the police department, or people, when they see them in public, perceive them to be a branch of the police department. In reality, they don't have the same powers as a police officer, so to expect them to be in the public, interact with the public, I would hate for a situation to arise, even though we are in town and people can respond quickly. Starkey said years ago, auxiliary police was a gateway for people who were interested in becoming a police officer. He said they could do ride alongside, be part-time officers, and they were there because they had a desire to be in law enforcement. It's just not the case anymore, he said. This is not a knock on any individuals that were serving our community by any means, he said. I think ultimately, when you look at the totality of the situation, it makes sense. He said there are other agencies that are doing away with auxiliary officers. A perfect example is the Sheriff's Department. When you go to the county fair, you used to see numerous auxiliary officers walking around. Now it's all deputies because of the nature of the job and how it's become. Starkey said he is hoping to expand the part-time officers and utilize their certified law enforcement officers. Crescent City Board conducts special meeting on village water. From staff reports, on Thursday, September 25th, a special meeting of the Crescent City Village Board took place at City Hall. Clerk Kathy Christensen, in the absence of Mayor Mark Raby, called the meeting to order just after 6 p.m. All village trustees were present. Chris Morical, Kim Raby, Jim Sorensen, Joe Martin, Joe Bellott, and Steve Carley. Also present were Treasurer Mary Carley, Sean McBride of ERH, and Clark Cameron of the Illinois Rural Water Association. At a previous meeting, the board voted to become a member of IRWA as a way to get ideas on how the board needs to manage its water rates and service. Cameron put together a rate assessment and application for the village using figures from Mary Carley's water billing system and yearly financials in QuickBooks. The main issue the board needs to manage is water rates. Typically, the water program finishes with a deficit of $22,729.13. As the water system is aging and needs to be addressed with replacements and repairs, the village is trying to get as much work done on the water system as possible. However, that takes funds. Though there are low interest rates available and a number of grants, the village may not be eligible for that kind of assistance as it cannot show a profit in the water department. Without a profit, that makes the village ineligible to qualify for some financial assistance. The figures Cameron put together were to raise the basic pay. Currently, the base pay for the first 10,000 gallons is $85 biannually. With the projections Cameron proposed in the assessment, the rate would go up to $120 biannually for the first 9,000 gallons. Dropping the base rate from 10,000 gallons to 9,000 gallons would affect the least amount of people are not using the 10,000 gallon base. The rate for each $1,000 over the base of $10,000 is actually $7.50 with the assessment plan. The rate for each thousand over the proposed base of 9,000 gallons would go up to $18. Again, this is a biannual fee. In addition to the benefit of having an assessment and application drawn up by IRWA, the organization can send a team to the village to look for water leaks and trouble areas. It was motioned to accept the IRWA proposal for water rates, and the motion carried. The rates will be in effect for the May 2026 bills, which will cover water usage November 2025 through April 2026. The board has set up a special public meeting for residents at 7 p.m. Tuesday, October 14th. Cameron will be present to explain the assessment and application and to answer questions from those who attend. This meeting will take place at the community center. The next regular meeting of the board is at 7 p.m. Monday, October 6th at City Hall. Watsika Farmers Market concludes for 2025 season by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Watsika Farmers Market has concluded for the season. Alderwoman Yamay Rolfs, who organizes the market each year, spoke about it at the September 23rd City Council meeting. She said the market ran every Saturday from June 14th to September 27th. We had consistently 12 to 15 vendors per market day that offered residents access to fruits and vegetables, homemade foods, and artisan crafts. A total of 5 live music Saturdays added to the atmosphere to create a joyful backdrop for shoppers and vendors. The market continued to serve as a vital gathering place for families, neighbors, and visitors. Some of the highlights that we had for this season include, we had the 4th of July Festival, this year's Independence Day celebration, returned the kids zone, face painting activities, and encouraged families to stay and play and enjoy the festival. We had high schoolers set up vendors' booths and learn real-world skills and finding success selling their creations at the farmers market. We also had a reading and literacy program, a special market day highlight, our kids' reading program, encouraging children to engage with books and stories. The last one we had was the Summer Corn Shuck Festival. Families enjoyed hands-on fun with corn shucking, and kids delighted in the dedicated sensory play area. The mission of the Watsika Farmers Market is to provide fresh local produce to residents to help them eat more fruits and veggies, create a family-oriented environment where people of all ages can gather and connect and enjoy their Saturday mornings. The farmers market also acts as a hub for socializing, collaboration for projects, and community projects. Rolfs also said she has gratitude for the city. She said her partner Angelina Pacheco was a big help. She really did a good job of helping to organize the farmers market with me, she said. Looking forward, our vision is to continue to grow deeper roots and to be recognized as a cornerstone of community life in Watsika by expanding events, enhancing vendor opportunities, and foster a stronger sense of belonging. We aim to make the Watsika Farmers Market an annual tradition that all our residents look forward to every summer. Iroquois County again under a burn ban until further notice. The Eastern Illinois Mutual Aid Fire Association and the County Board have issued a countywide burn ban. The burn ban will went into effect as of September 29th. According to information from Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Scott Anderson, the fire association is composed of all 21 fire departments in Iroquois County. Ashcombe Fire Chief and MABAS Division 37 President Jeff Glenn said, "We have not received enough rain to prevent fires from quickly spreading, and there is nothing in the forecast to give us the moisture we will need. The lack of rain and warm conditions ahead were the main reasons for reissuing the burn ban. Everything is just tinder dry." This burn ban was instituted by the fire chiefs of Iroquois County. The fire chiefs have the authority to issue a burn ban pursuant with Illinois state law, directing everyone to refrain from any open burning, including landscape waste, agricultural waste, household trash, and garbage. Also included in this ban are any type of consumer fireworks. The fire departments can, by law, impose fines for violation of this burn ban and will, after warning and extinguishing these flames, impose a fine of $100. Fines will double for the second violation. This ban will be in effect until further notice. Iroquois County Police reports. On September 24th, Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies arrested Thomas Gray, 40, of Watseka. According to police reports, deputies knew Gray had an active Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while license suspended. Gray was located at the Iroquois County Courthouse and taken to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on a notice to appear. On September 26th, Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies arrested Dominique Hoskins, 29, of Chicago. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle driven by Hoskins for traffic violations. Deputies conducted standardized field sobriety tests, and signs of impairment were observed. Hoskins was taken into custody and charged with aggravated driving under the influence, driving while license suspended, aggravated speeding, and illegal transportation of alcohol. Hoskins was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released with a notice to appear. On September 26th, Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies arrested Dustin Lundberg, of 42, of Milford. According to police reports, members of the Iroquois County Sheriff's Office, along with members of the Iroquois County Probation's Office, conducted a probation check on Lundberg. A search of Lundberg's residence revealed multiple pieces of drug paraphernalia and a pair of brass knuckles. Lundberg was arrested and charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and unlawful possession of weapon by a felon. Lundberg was taken to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released on a notice to appear. On September 26th, Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies arrested Caitlin Fry, 31, homeless. According to police reports, Fry was located at a residence where sheriff's deputies were conducting a probation check. A search of Fry's person revealed drug paraphernalia. Fry was taken to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released on a notice to appear. Carol Prince of Watseka crowned AMHR Nationals Princess, Watseka, Illinois, September 23, 2025. Carol Prince of Watseka has been crowned the AMHR Nationals Princess at the 2025 American Miniature Horse Registry, AMHR, National Show, conducted September 4th through 13th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This prestigious honor recognizes Prince's achievements in the show ring, along with her dedication to horsemanship, leadership, and sportsmanship in the miniature horse community, according to information provided. The AMHR Nationals Princess title is awarded to a youth participant who exemplifies confidence, grace, and a passion for the miniature horse industry. Throughout the competition, Prince stood out for her poise, strong work ethic, and commitment to being a positive ambassador for other youth members. I am truly honored to represent AMHR as Nationals Princess, she said. Miniature horses have given me so many opportunities to learn and grow, and I'm excited to share that passion with others. As Nationals Princess, Prince will represent AMHR at events throughout the coming year, encouraging youth involvement and highlighting the values of leadership, sportsmanship, and community that the organization upholds. The American Miniature Horse Registry is dedicated to preserving, promoting, and celebrating the miniature horse. The annual AMHR National Show is one of the largest miniature horse events in the world, bringing together top competitors from across the country for 10 days of competition and fellowship. And there's a lovely picture of Carol Prince of Watseka having been crowned in American Miniature Horse Registry Princess in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Child Network welcomes new executive director. The Child Network Board of Directors and Personnel Committee are pleased to announce the appointment of Brianne Hetman as the new executive director of Child Network. According to information provided, Hetman brings with her 24 years of experience in social services and a proven record of leadership at the state, local, and national levels. She has successfully led initiatives with volunteers, board committees, and community partners, demonstrating a strong commitment to advocacy, collaboration, and innovation. She is excited to work with the staff, board, and community partners as she begins this new chapter of leadership. As a team leader and motivator, Hetman is highly skilled in program management, organizational budgeting, fundraising, and development. Her vision and expertise will be instrumental in strengthening Child Network's mission and advancing the organization to its next level of growth and impact. Governor J.B. Pritzker urges Illinoisans to stay cyber safe during Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Dateline Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker has proclaimed October as Cybersecurity Awareness Month in Illinois, and the Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology, DOIT, or DOIT, is encouraging residents to take advantage of free tools and resources to protect themselves online, according to information provided. As governor, my top priority is to protect the people of Illinois, and that includes keeping Illinoisans safe from new and emerging cyber threats, said Governor J.B. Pritzker. I am proud to once again designate October as Cybersecurity Awareness Month, bringing attention to the importance of online safety and further protecting our state. Whether it's the evolving threats in our rapidly changing digital landscape or everyday safety measures, this month is about equipping Illinoisans with the knowledge, tools, and safeguards they need to safely navigate digital spaces. Recognizing the critical importance of cybersecurity, state officials are committed to providing the necessary tools and information to help residents protect themselves. This initiative aims to empower individuals with the knowledge and resources needed to navigate the digital landscape securely. Cybersecurity awareness isn't just for IT folks. It's something that's important for all of us, said Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology statewide Chief Information Security Officer Jaylen. Simple steps like using strong passwords and pausing before clicking make you and your family safer online. To further assist residents in understanding and implementing cybersecurity measures, DOIT has compiled a list of practical tips and guidelines. These resources are designed to help individuals safeguard their personal information and reduce the risk of cyber threats. How can I keep my data safe? Protecting your accounts is the single most important thing you can do to keep your data safe. Enable two-factor authentication whenever possible. For passwords, consider making them complex, upper, lowercase, numbers, symbols, but longer passwords are stronger passwords. Use a unique password for each account. Avoid using known information about you in your passwords. Keep your internet browser and operating system up to date with the latest versions. Be cautious about any online offers. Monitor your online bank and credit accounts for unauthorized or suspicious spending. Talk with your family about the importance of cybersecurity. What is phishing? Phishing, with a PH instead of F, is a technique used to get your personal information by email, websites, or phone. Phishing is an attempt to dishonestly gather personal information from you or to install malicious software on your device. To avoid becoming a victim of phishing, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Delete emails asking for personal information and block the sender. Do not visit websites that may attempt to install malicious software. Never give personal information to anyone over the phone or online. For more cybersecurity tips, visit www.ready.gov/cybersecurity. McDonald's to bring back Monopoly game October 6th. Hold on to your top hats. The iconic Monopoly game at McDonald's is making a comeback in the U.S. for the first time in nearly a decade. Starting October 6th, for a limited time, fans across the country can rediscover the thrill of the peel with new twists like digital game pieces when ordering select items using the app alongside the classic game pieces customers know and love on select menu items. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or a first-time player, we're giving fans even more ways to play in the McDonald's app. Ellipsis. Because two chances to win are always better than one. All you have to do is order your faves from the Monopoly at McDonald's menu, then peel and play, using the app to collect your property pieces and redeem any prizes you win, like dream vacations, a new ride, and more. Each game piece also earns you a bonus play for a second chance to win in the app, with the opportunity to win everything from free food to a $1 million cash prize. Our fans have been clamoring for the return of Monopoly to McDonald's, and we're thrilled to bring it back with a modern digital spin, said Alyssa Butikoffer, Senior Vice President, Chief Marketing and Customer Experience Officer of McDonald's USA. This game is a core memory for so many customers, and we're excited that those memories can now be shared across generations. This has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, October 2nd, 2025.